Greetings, Earth explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become if you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. Foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived a disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. Greetings, Earth explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio. We are so glad that you are here with us. Our AccuWindow forecast is for eastern Washington State up against the Canadian border. 104 degrees today. No clouds in the sky. The solar wind today is 485.9 kilometers per second, but the proton density is up to 2.7 protons per cubic centimeter. Don't get out in the sun without sunblock. There are no sunspots and no solar wind coming from any coronal holes today, but something rare and heretofore inexplicable happened a couple of days ago. An aurora borealis occurred over both poles again. That's right. While the northern lights were putting on a dazzling display for Nordic viewers, the Antarctic was ablaze as well. Scientists are now more sure than ever that an ion stream emanating from the inner Earth is the cause for the rare dual display of charged oxygen particles. Is Earth hollow after all? We shall see. The planet Mars has also just had its summer. Talking as it dropped out. This Arctic landing site. Why so cold? Because Mars is 48 million miles further from the sun than Earth, and the thin atmosphere of Mars traps precious little heat. Temperatures rarely rise above the freezing point of water. No wonder there is so much ice in the soil. the Phoenix lander's first taste of soil near Mars's North Pole reveals a briny environment similar to what can be found in backyards on Earth, scientists said today in Los Angeles. The finding raises hopes that the Martian Arctic plains could have conditions favorable for primitive life. Phoenix landed a month ago to study the habitability of Mars's northern latitudes. There's nothing about it that would preclude life. In fact, it seems very friendly, mission scientist Samuel Cunevas of Tufts University said of the soil. There's nothing about it that's toxic. Phoenix so far has not detected organic carbon, considered an essential building block of life. Last week, the lander found evidence of ice below the soil. Scientists generally agree that liquid water, a stable energy source, and organic or carbon-containing compounds are required for a habitable zone. The latest experiment was designed to test for minerals that do not have carbon in them. Earlier this week, Phoenix's 8-foot-long robotic arm delivered a pinch of dirt to its onboard lab. Like a chemist, the lab spacecraft mixed the soil with water brought from Earth into a beaker the size of a teacup and stirred it. Sensors inside the beaker detected the soil's pH and probed for traces of the nutrients. On Earth, asparagus, green beans, and turnips could be planted in such an environment, and chemical-loving bacteria would thrive there, he said. Last week, we heard from Ann Druffel, who came on the program to discuss her book, Firestorm. We talked about the life and work of James McDonald. He was an atmospheric physicist who joined the quest for UFO disclosure from the U.S. government from 1954 to 1995. The book was extremely well written, and Anne was a delight to have on the program. This week, we have the author of Allies of Humanity. His revelation process has lasted for 25 years and has resulted in this new message for humanity. Many readers regard this as the first theology of contact. So please welcome with me Marshall Bean Summers. How are you, Marshall?
I'm very good, thank you. Good to be here.
Where are you at, Marshall? Are you in the U.S. right now?
Yes, I'm in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh,
my home is here.
Mm-hmm. Is it hot there, too?
It's pretty warm, but very nice. But very dry. Has not rained in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it hasn't rained in a long time up here either.
It's always a concern here in Colorado.
They're saying the wheat will be about 50% this year up here. Not good.
Yes.
Well, we only have 2 hours with you tonight, which always goes extremely fast. So let's jump right into the meat of your work. Do you think the present human race is ready to face the reality that we are not alone in the universe?
Well, in the revelation that has been given to me over the past 25 years, which has mostly come from an angelic divine source, the picture that has been created for me of our situation in terms of our relationship with life in the universe and the possibilities and realities of contact indicates that humanity does not yet have the unity, the maturity, the discernment, or yet the strength to be able to engage with the complex network of worlds in which our world exists. And this revelation has also shown me, very surprisingly to me, that we live in a very highly inhabited part of the galaxy. We live in a part of the universe where trade and commerce has been established for a very long time. And this is an important background for the Allies of Humanity briefings. The Allies of Humanity briefings have come from an off-planet source, a group of observers in our local galactic neighborhood who have sent us a series of briefings to educate us about life in the universe and to prepare us for what contact really means so that we may proceed with real wisdom regarding who is presently in our world and any future visitation to our world. And so, whereas most of my work has come from a divine source, a very small part of it, representing the Allies of Humanity briefings, has come from an extraterrestrial source.
Now, these extraterrestrial observers, are they travelers as well, or do they observe from a distance?
It is claimed in their in the briefings, there are two sets of six briefings, that they positioned observers in our solar system, but not on Earth, to observe the extraterrestrial presence in our world and to report on this presence, to report on its intentions, its activities, and its connections to other worlds in our vicinity, to give us information that we, still being earthbound, could not have. We could only speculate down here on the surface of our world, and giving us a very prosaic, and I think a very understandable, comprehensible picture, basically, of what life is like beyond the borders of our world. It's very important that we know this, because if we didn't know this, it would be very difficult for us to discern the needs and the intentions of those who are visiting our world, who have visited in the past, and who are likely to come here in the future.
Well, this is really profound, because and quite different. Normally, we hear about alien races or ETs or off-worlders coming here and observing us. But this group, these allies of humanity, are coming here and observing extraterrestrial activity on Earth and then reporting it to you. And this is very profound, because we don't really know. I mean, a lot of people don't believe in UFOs at all. Most people do. But the fact that there are races inside these craft that are visiting the planet, and that each does so with purpose and intention and has a mission, we don't really know what that mission is. And this is really going to be a revelation to us tonight.
And that's a critical piece of the puzzle, because many people are concerned about a government cover-up. But we should really be concerned about the cover-up of those visiting our world. And there's actually a third cover-up, and that's the cover-up from all the maybe countless numbers of people who have had either sightings or direct contact themselves. They are probably sitting on more information and more direct experience than even our governments possess. It's a very important thing that we are the native peoples of this world, and we need to learn from the history of intervention what intervention really means and what happens to the native peoples. Margaret Mead famously said, "It is the unfortunate position to be the race or the people that is discovered." And that may be unfortunate for us or fortunate for us, depending upon how we perceive this visitation and how we are able to understand what life is like beyond our borders. And I think the allies who represent a series of free races or free nations in our local universe are trying to tell us something about what freedom means in the universe and what we will need to do in the future and even presently to build upon and to preserve human freedom and self-determination within this larger arena of intelligent life.
Sure. Well, do you think there's a kind of broad desensitization effort going on right now by someone feeding funds and ideas to the media?
Well, it's clear that the intervention that the Allies briefings speak of, and they do speak of the extraterrestrial presence here in our world as an intervention and not a visitation, one of its primary activities is to influence individuals in position of power and authority. In government, in religion, and in commerce. Not every individual, certainly, but to influence the train of thought that we have, how we perceive ourselves, how we perceive our position in the universe, how we perceive those who might visit us. There is a lot of influence being cast upon that by foreign powers who are in our world today. Now, we know something about this from our own experience. We know that we try to influence each other in many ways. Our governments certainly try to influence our thinking and behavior. The entire commercial world attempts to influence us to do the things they want us to do. So we know something about influence. But within this greater community of intelligent life in which we live, It is not weapons that demonstrate power. It is influence. And this is what mature nations in the universe have learned, that conflict and war and destruction is mutually undesirable for everyone involved. And so we actually live in a part of the universe where war is very rare. It's not a Star Wars reality in any sense.
Right.
But the power that's exerted there is the power of influence, the power of thought in the mental environment. And this represents a more mature or elevated level of power and skill that's used extensively in our local universe. And it's a power and a skill that we, as the newcomers into this larger arena of life, know very little about. And it's something that we really need to study and to develop our latent talents in this regard in order to discern friend from foe, to discern who is in our world, and to begin to establish our own rules of engagement regarding who can come here. And we can certainly talk about that in our time together.
Oh, yeah. I you know, I'm a pretty free and open observer, and I think most people that listen to this program are. Do you think that there's enough of both sides of the alien question being presented that the people of Earth will be ready to recognize the good guys and the bad guys when they come?
Well, that's an important question, and I have spoken at many symposia on this subject and have been a participant in others, and I think that the intentions and the motives of those visiting our world is rarely questioned. And so I think we're only really seeing one side of the picture.
Sure.
The intervention has many apologists and supporters, but very few critics. And that's not an accident that that's the case. And this is the nature of influence. We can see the power of influence here, and that we're being conditioned to view this presence in our midst, the presence that we have never given permission for, that is acting with impunity in our world. We're only really being conditioned to see this in a certain way. And
well,
I think that's why the briefings are really remarkable for many people to read, because they present a very different picture, and I think a very clear picture of what we're facing in terms of engagement with other forms of intelligent life.
Well, you say that, you know, they have come uninvited, but I know for at least 20 years we've been sending all kinds of equipment, messages, and signals out into space, you know, asking for, you know, to be visited. And most people that I know are really excited about it. But, you know, it isn't just happening now. Do you think that there have been interventions in the past? And we definitely think that it's going on right now. But, you know, this kind of thing ebbs and flows. Ancient civilizations seem to have dealt, you know, quite well with off-world races, trading technology for resources. Is that kind of thing still going on now?
Well, I think it's important for us to see in regarding this, and I want to make this particular statement, that our future and our destiny is within this greater community of intelligent life. But what our future will be there will be very much determined on the discernment that we bring to bear in these encounters that we're having now, which are very different from the visitations that were occurring before. And the briefings speak of the difference that we have never encountered before, the races who are here now operating in our world. And while we have announced to the universe that we're here and have sent symbols and various kinds of messages abroad, it has never been given permission for an intervention of this nature to take place and for its activities to be underway. And that's a very important thing, because for the native peoples of a world to have a foreign race operating in a clandestine manner, in a secret manner within their own midst, should be a very concerning thing. I think that it's very important that we look at this from the standpoint of being the native peoples of the world, because it enables us to ask the most fundamental questions, and that is, who is here, why are they here, what do they want, and how should we respond to them? Those are the most basic questions I think that we should ask, but they're questions that I think are not asked sufficiently
Well, who is here? Why? Who is here that has never been here before, that is doing an intervention or an interaction with the human race that has never been done before?
Well, this has a lot to do with where we are in our evolutionary track. What has occurred within the world, what is happening within the world today. The Allies briefings say that for an emerging race such as ours, and they refer to us respectfully as an emerging race, our first encounter with life in the universe will be with resource explorers and economic collectives. These are non-military groups. They're here to seek resources and advantages. And because the human family at this time is divided and in contention with itself, and is also threatening the ecological stability of the world, and has developed weapons, certainly of mass destruction, this has caused an intervention to take place in a world by these exploratory groups. They're not just really exploratory. They're here to seek for resources and advantage. And I think in our hopeful expectation that those who would come to visit us would be here out of deference to us or concern for us, we fail to see a basic law of intervention, and that intervention is always carried out for self-interest. And if the native peoples do not respond appropriately, they face a tremendous disadvantage and even a disastrous outcome. So I think we have to bring our native wisdom to bear here. We are destined to be in space. We are destined to have contact. But what I see, given what has been revealed to me, is that we are not responding to the foreign presence in our world today with wisdom, with discernment, and with clarity. And as a result, people are using this presence amongst us as a kind of fulfillment of their desires or a fulfillment of ancient prophecies, a fulfillment of hopeful expectations. And if we lose trust in ourselves, if we lose trust in our leaders and institutions sufficiently, we will look to other powers in the universe to save us, to guide us, to lead us, and so forth. And once that happens, it is really the beginning of the end of self-determination for the human family.
Well,
the universe that we're emerging into, as the Allies describe it, and as the teaching in the New Message describe it, is a competitive environment on an unbelievable scale.
Sure.
And so we have to enter this new arena with a greater unity and a greater clarity, or we will be taken advantage of, and we will be deceived, as has happened throughout the history of our world, as is common throughout the universe. This is what the Allies briefings are telling us. They're telling us not to think that the universe is full of enlightened beings and that we can expect that everyone is going to be inordinately concerned or interested in us. And I think that is a very important step.
Well, I think we're pretty well primed for it. I don't know anybody that trusts their leadership or the institutions. If they have elected officials, I doubt seriously that the people deem them to be trustworthy. So we have a lot of practice distrusting leadership and institutions. But, you know, this planet, this is very rare. We know this. I mean, we live in relative ease on the surface of our planet, which is unheard of for at least 25,000 light years in every direction. Are the resources of this planet of interest to races from other worlds?
Well, given what has been revealed to me through these briefings and through these writings, our world is considered a prize. The biological resources of this world are of phenomenal value. What is valued there is not the same as what we explore for, except for rare metals. We are interested in things that are quite different. What is of value in the greater community, a greater community of barren worlds, where worlds such as our own that are immensely rich in biological diversity, rich in water resources, rich in the evolution of both plant and animal life, is of incredible value, and that is why the humanity, as the stewards of this world, must take care of it. We must maintain our self-sufficiency in this world, Because when you lose that in the greater community, you will no longer be a self-determined people.
Do you think that the rate at which it appears the human race extincts other races is of great concern to the greater community?
The greater community, at least a part of the greater community, being an incredibly vast area of countless races, for those few races who are aware of our existence, how we treat this planet is of great importance to them, and what kind of neighbor we will be is of great importance to them. As it stands right now, we are like the adolescent entering the big city, expecting all whom we will meet to value us and to help us. We are entering this larger arena of life inexperienced. We have no wisdom regarding it. We do not understand its rules, its ethics. This is a non-human environment we're entering into. And so we on Earth will project human values onto intelligent life in the universe because that's all we can really do. And so we get a Star Trek universe or a Star Wars universe. But really the universe we're emerging into is quite different than that. And our world is also of strategic importance to certain races who seek to take advantage of this world for their own use. Not to destroy us, but to use us. I mean, we're useful. The other interesting thing that the briefings talk about, which is very rare, and I have never heard this spoken of or even referred to anywhere else, and I'd like to mention it because it's an important piece of this picture, is that races who live in space, who live in highly technological environments, which tend to be sterile environments, cannot function in a world of such biological diversity. The biological hazard of this world is almost an impregnable shield. And that is why those races who are here today are attempting to interbreed with human beings to create an adapted liaison here on Earth. They cannot function in this environment. It is far too hazardous. The briefings reveal that previous attempts to establish colonies here have failed for this reason. That no one in the universe has enough medical or technological skill to combat an environment of this diversity.
Oh, I agree.
I think what the allies are also telling us, and this is very important, this comes into the realm of our spirituality, is that we are endowed with a deeper knowledge. As human beings, the human family, this deeper knowledge cannot be fooled or deceived by any force, whether it be a human source or a force from beyond our world. We need to build upon this essential intelligence that we have, which represents the core of our spirituality and our spiritual intelligence, to discern who we meet, why they're here, and what this means. We actually have the power to do this. It is not a question of having more information and more information. We have been studying the UFO question for a long time, and people have done incredibly great work. But we still don't seem to have a sense of who's here and why they're here and what it means for us. And this is a question I think we have to bring to a deeper intelligence within us, that we don't have time to put all the pieces of the puzzle together in a rational sense. We're going to have to look and see and know what we're dealing with here.
Are the alien races that are coming here, that are involving themselves in a biological manner in the human race, are they generating hybrids that walk the earth today?
Given everything I've been told, that's one of their purposes, is to establish a new leadership for humanity. Not a new race, but a new leadership. And so a great deal of time is being expended to develop this adaptability to an individual who will look like us, but who will function in allegiance, in alignment with a foreign power. And this is an intelligent way, if we want to look at intelligence now, this is an intelligent way to achieve their goals. Because once they have enough of these individuals in place, individuals who will show a greater intuitive abilities, greater perceptive abilities, but who will not be aligned with us, now we have something very new and different to deal with. This represents skill that is practiced in the greater community among certain, let us say, less ethical races. It is something we're going to have to contend with. It's a reality. And the hybridization program is the purpose for the whole abduction phenomenon, which represents a very dark side of the intervention's presence here. Again, we have to come back to the power of knowledge within us to discern this. I think people try to put together evidence alone, but the evidence that we have today has been so polluted by both government and by the extraterrestrial presence itself that it becomes less than wholly reliable. And it's very slanted towards certain kinds of responses. For instance, the intervention wants us to feel betrayed by our governments, that our governments are not releasing information, and never to question the extraterrestrial presence itself, which is the very first thing we should question. So the response to the extraterrestrial presence amongst the very few of the human family who are aware of it is being directed in a certain kind of way. And I think it's to our great disadvantage that that is the case.
Well, yeah, I would say so too. But, you know, what I do agree with is that the human being, the evolved being that is now alive on the Earth, does have this deeper knowledge, this almost ability to remember beyond, you know, one mortal life, to bring incredible wisdom in situations that they couldn't possibly have formal training. And you're saying, and I think maybe rightly so, that the alien races do not have this deeper knowledge. They give up their sovereignty to be aligned with the foreign power, regardless of hybridization. I mean, at some point, you're going to no longer have an alien being. You're going to have a human that has some genetic memory to its alien roots, but it is either going to have to be taken off planet and trained and indoctrinated and then brought back to this community and put into a position where it can reach, he or she can reach a position of leadership and influence in order to pave the way for some greater intervention, right?
Well, yes, and it is a very important thing, and I'm sure many of your readers may resonate with this, is that there are many people in the world today who have had a long history in the greater community. I mean, all of our evolution hasn't happened on this one world.
Sure.
And so we bring into this life, under normal human circumstances, an aspect that is really connected to life beyond the world. And I think that many people are drawn to the mystery and to the complexity of the reality of contact because they have this deeper connection. And this connection, again, comes back to the power of knowledge. And knowledge is described in the New Message teaching as a mind behind the mind, as if we were operating with two different minds. We have a worldly mind that is our surface mind that has been conditioned by the world, by culture, by family, by religion. And then we have a deeper mind that is our divine mind. And this divine mind has all of the memory of our long history, not only in this world perhaps, but in many other places. And so when people have a strong, what I call a greater community connection or heritage, they are going to be drawn to the power of contact. It is almost like a reuniting of some ancient part of themselves with something that is actually happening in the world. And I'm seeing this in so many people who have just a natural affinity or resonance with even the idea of life beyond this world. I mean, to them, it's life beyond this world is an obvious thing. It's an of course. In fact, there's a step, a lesson in the book Steps to Knowledge, which is the Greater Community Book of Practices. And it says, our world's emerging into a greater community of worlds, and that is why I have come. And so even our higher spiritual purpose has a connection with life in the universe. Now, this is a very important thing. However, we still are living in a physical reality where conflict and competition is part of nature. We have to bring a greater wisdom to bear on the reality of contact. This is very important for us now, because if we make mistakes here, the consequences of those mistakes will be very long-standing. And that is why the Allies' briefings, for example, really talk about the kind of wisdom we have to bring to bear regarding how we are going to contact races and how we are going to discern who they are, why they are here. In this particular step, and if I may read just a couple of sentences from it.
Sure, go ahead.
It says, "You have come into the world at a great turning point, a turning point only part of which you will see in your own lifetime. It is a turning point where your world gains contact with worlds in its vicinity. This is the natural evolution of humanity, as it is the natural evolution of all intelligent life in all worlds." So we are on an evolutionary track, and we have also established a worldwide infrastructure that other races can interface with. We have a destiny in the greater community, but destiny does not assure success. And success requires skill, discernment, and wisdom. And I think for us, it requires a unity and a cooperation that we're going to have to establish if we're going to be able to be a real power and a real force in our local universe. Because if we remain divided and in contention with each other, if we continue to despoil the world at the rate we are, we will erode away the power that we have, the power as one people. And that is critically important for us. And that will invite intervention from other worlds, as is happening currently.
I agree with that. You speak of a greater community with alien races. Do all the alien races belong to this greater community?
Well, I speak of greater community in a more natural sense, that as a community of life. It's not a united community where everyone belongs to a federation or some kind of governing body.
Okay.
The universe is unbelievably vast, and the Allies' briefings describe travel as being relatively slow in the universe, and that people within worlds tend to stay local within their own worlds because it's hazardous to travel in space.
Right,
and that no one has found a way to go from one end of the galaxy to another. I know that that's disappointing to many people. And that what we're going to face in our local vicinity in space are highly organized races that are involved in complex arrays of trade with one another. And that the rules of contact have been long established. And that we're not going to be able to go out into the universe and seize or take possession of other worlds. We are going to have to recognize the limits and the requirements of participating in this greater community according to what has been established within the vicinity of our world. And I think for the first time in the briefings and in the New Message teaching, that reality is brought forth to us. And it's a reality that we can understand. It's a reality of where worlds coexist with each other in relative peace, but there are major constraints in how worlds interact with each other and so forth. And one of the interesting aspects of this is that freedom, as we know it and value it, is rare in the universe.
It is rare in the universe. I would think that interplanetary or inter-system war over time, and certainly in the universe, there is plenty of time to learn these lessons, you will end up with planets devoid of life, one after the other, and nobody wins. It's a complete Epiric victory if you do win. So it would make sense that there would be rules of engagement, rules of interaction between worlds, between races, between systems. But do they all work together in peace and protect the rights of more primitive races, like Earth humans?
In our local universe, invasion is not allowed. And that is very important for us to know, because it is actually an advantage for us. So if another race wants to gain influence here, they cannot use force. And that is very important for us to know. That's a piece of the picture that we must know regarding our place in this larger arena of life. Now, well, the rules of engagement state that others can come here if it appears that we are destroying the natural resources of our world. But they cannot take a world by force.
Well, they wouldn't take the world by force, but they would force their intervention inside the rules of engagement on the human race for their own agendas, though, right?
Well, that is correct, and that is exactly what is happening. And that is why we have all the secrecy surrounding intervention. That is why governments are afraid. That is why everything is kept out of the public view to create as much of a sense of normalcy in the world so everything can function. When in reality, we are undergoing the most momentous event in history and perhaps the most consequential event in history. And our future within this greater community will probably be determined by how we engage and how we conduct ourselves in these initial engagements. If we present to the universe ourselves as a divided people, then we will be at a tremendous disadvantage. And this is why the power of knowledge within us is so very important. In fact, the briefings say it is the greatest power in the universe, greater than technology. And the intervention doesn't use it, or it wouldn't be intervening in the way that it is. And that humanity actually has maintained enough of its religious traditions, enough of its spiritual emphasis within a universe full of highly technological civilizations that it actually has a real advantage here. And this comes back to our core native strength. It says in the Allies briefings, may read a sentence in the Allies briefing, the fourth briefing, in the first set of briefings, it says, the stronger you are with knowledge, the more you become a force that opposes intervention and manipulation, and the more you become a force for freedom and integrity for your race.
Exactly. And I would think that they would still be attracted to come to Earth, but maybe not intervene. I mean, I always wondered why anyone would travel here and risk being wiped out in Montana rather than just hooking onto an asteroid of pure gold or nickel. I mean, they're individually wrapped for freshness, and you don't have to fight anyone for them.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to biological diversity, fish and penguins and birds and horses and, you know, I'm most recently from Earth, and I'm fascinated by the biological diversity of Earth. So I'm sure they would be too, but why, if we are taking care of ourselves and we're evolving in the right direction, why intervene? Why not come and just join us, participate in it?
Well, the intervention is happening because we are destroying the value of the world, not only for ourselves, but for others.
I agree.
And what is so important about this world is that all advanced technologies have, with probably a few exceptions, have outstripped their world's biological resources. So biological resources now become incredibly important for the propagation of life, for the creation of food, for the creation of medicine. And we have this resource in such abundance. And that's what makes our world so remarkably valuable. The briefings also tell us that worlds that have this diversity are rare in the universe. I mean, they exist, but they're not common. It takes very unique circumstances to create a planet that has this wealth. And so we are like the native tribes sitting on incredibly valuable property that is considered valuable to others.
And
we know what happens to native peoples when that happens. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Right, and we're using it as a landfill, so I'm with you on that. I understand that.
We do have a caller for you, mind too.
My producer says we have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
My name is Kathy, and I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the United States. And
Hi,
I had a question
Kathy?
For Marshall. Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
I am so interested in doing these steps. I really am, but I I'm finding that I need to know, are you so very, very sure that this comes from a good source and not from a bad? And if you are, can you tell me how?
Are you referring, you're referring to Steps to Knowledge, the study in Steps to Knowledge, or the Allies of Humanity
briefing? That's correct.
Steps to Knowledge.
The Steps to Knowledge.
Your Steps to Knowledge was revealed to me in 14 days by an angelic presence. It contains information and wisdom and practices that I had never seen before. It encourages human strength, human unity, human integrity, human compassion. It talks about the well of our native abilities, the tremendous skill that we carry unbeknownst to ourselves, the immense potential of the individual, the importance of maintaining human freedom and sovereignty within a greater community of intelligent life. It's what it teaches and the value that it has given to people who have been studying it, to me, clearly demonstrates its authenticity and its value, its integrity. And it is the kind of study, I think, right now that we really need to cultivate to become really strong and compassionate individuals in a world of increasing uncertainty and increasing conflict, where that strength will be really tested. Thank you for your question.
I agree. I do agree. So then the fruit.
Yes?
Uh-oh, did we lose her?
Okay. Then I will continue.
Yes, Kathy.
Yeah, you're still there. Go ahead, Kathy. The wonders of bondage.
The wonders of technology. I think the Allies briefings, I've been asked this question about the briefings. I'm sorry. I will stop.
Hold on just a second, caller. In Christian writings, it's often given, people ask the question, gee, how do we know if this comes from a good source or a bad source? And it basically, we are given the right to be fruit inspectors. We look at the fruits of what is being taught rather than the integrity of the person who is teaching it. The goodwill, the cooperation, these kinds of advice and teachings would not come from a bad source.
That's correct. And the Allies briefings, the regard that they hold for us, what they are encouraging in us to become a free and self-sufficient race, to not accept, you know, foreign persuasion, is very, very important for us to know that there are races in the universe who hold us in this regard, who value who we are and what we're potentially capable of becoming. And I think we need that encouragement now, particularly as we're facing, you know, the demonstration of our own difficulties and our own ignorance increasingly around the world. I think the Allies represent a real message of promise for the human family. Not that they're going to come here and take over. They disclaim that fervently. They emphasize that humanity itself must gain its own strength if it is to be free and viable in the universe.
I agree. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, this is Craig from Boulder.
Did you say Greg?
Craig.
Oh, Craig. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going, Marshall?
Welcome.
Hello, Craig.
You have a question for Marshall?
I sure do. You know, as a student of Steps to Knowledge, to follow up on Kathy's question, I would say that it is, you know, unquestionably positive. And once you get through it, get partway into it, that becomes clear that it's connecting you up to something deeper inside. And I just wondered if Marshall could talk a little bit more about knowledge and some concrete ways to cultivate that.
Yes. The teaching in the way of knowledge, or the greater community way of knowledge, as it has been revealed to me, really speaks to a deeper intelligence within us that can see and know clearly and can lead us into very, very clear and determined action when necessary. We find knowledge because we learn to still the mind, we develop inner listening, and we just develop the ability to read the signs that are coming both from within us and from the world around us. And so we begin to become discerning. We begin to learn how to tell real messages from errant thoughts, how to tell what is true from what is false. It's kind of taking your gut level experience to a much higher level of expression. I'd like to read, if I may, a few sentences from one of the steps in Steps to Knowledge, and this is the step 10, What is Knowledge?
Sure.
Let us say that knowledge is not the things that are usually associated with it. It is not ideas. It is not a body of information. It is not a system of belief. It is not a process of self-evaluation. It is the great mystery of your life. Its outward manifestations are profound intuition, great insight, inexplicable knowing, wise perception in the present and in the future, and wise understanding of the past. But despite these great achievements of mind, knowledge is greater than this. It is your true self, a self that is not apart from life.
Well said. I often talk to people who use the word faith. I have faith in this, or I believe in this. And when I looked up the definition of faith, it says it's the things hoped for but not seen. And I asked the question, so what happens if you're faithful for 10 days and then you learn the knowledge of what it was you once had faith in? Now you know. Now you have a knowing. So there's no more need for faith in that thing because now you have pure knowledge. So you should be able to stand upon that knowledge, use your faith, and stretch a little bit further next time.
Yes.
And they actually understood that.
Well, here the faith carries you when you're not having that experience of inner certainty.
Right.
Because your first experiences will be intermittent. They might be momentary. And you have to stay with the impact of that experience to see what it is telling you and to take whatever action it may be indicated from that experience or that message that you received. We really are not using our greatest intelligence. And in the greater community into which humanity is now emerging, this greater intelligence will make all the difference in how we proceed, in what we do here on Earth. You know, the Allies briefings give us probably an entirely new mandate for establishing peace and cooperation, because we have to join together to preserve the world's resources if we're going to have a future here. And we have to become more united than we are today to face the greater community as one people. You know, the differences between us don't make any difference in the universe. They may be significant to us, but to other races, we're all human beings.
Sure.
We're all one people. And I think that perspective from the outside looking in this regard, is beneficial to us. It's like the picture of Earth that was taken from the Apollo mission, this tiny little jewel of a planet in the vast emptiness of space, again, from a visual standpoint, gave us a sense of how fragile our life here is on Earth, that we are sailing on this ship, this planet Earth ship, and really that we are part of something bigger beyond just the sphere of our own world, which we're only learning to discover. As I know your work has indicated, we're only beginning to understand the world that we even live on, let alone the greater community in which we live.
Yeah, and we're barely beginning to understand human life, because although everything you said is profoundly true, the greater awakening might be that, yes, I am a human being, but only now. Maybe I wasn't a human being always. Maybe I was another race on another world, and I might not be when I leave here. I might be again and again on this planet, but the idea that we only exist as long as we're mortal and breathing air is just not reality. I mean, at one time we were breathing amniotic fluid, but we were still alive. We were still a thinking, feeling being. Now we breathe air. We're in a different phase of our growth, of our development. But in this snap of life, which is a cosmic microsecond, you know, this is not all the experience that makes up our knowledge, right?
Well, we're just still living on the surface of ourselves, as we are still just living on the surface of our world. And I think our exposure to the greater community presents us with a whole other dimension about who we are and the nature of our life here on Earth. It is said in the New Message teaching that to understand what God is doing in the world, you have to understand what God is doing in the greater community.
Yeah.
And so as we begin this long process of emerging out of isolation in the universe, and which will challenge all of our basic assumptions about life and religion, and will challenge us to function differently with each other and to establish, you know, boundaries to space and discernment within this greater community, we really have an opportunity to discover a whole other dimension of ourselves as individuals. And this importance of knowledge is the well of wisdom that we carry. This wisdom that cannot be corrupted, again, is the center of who we are. And so the more this becomes part of our experience, the more we're able to gain access to these different dimensions of ourselves as individuals,
sure,
and to bring a greater, clearer discernment and clarity into our outer lives.
Sure, yeah. You know, you brought up the word religion. Since the beginning of the latest human race, I'm going to say since the beginning of history this time, we have been inundated with religions. In almost all of them, there is a need to worship or to fear something or someone out there. What does the greater community think about Earth's many religions?
Well, that's an interesting question, because in both the Allies briefing and the New Message teaching, religion as we know it, as it's practiced here on Earth, is actually fairly rare in our local universe. Technological societies have become entirely secular. Whatever religion they may have had at one time often has disappeared or has been ruled out, unless it be a religion of the state or the worship of the state. And we can see that secular process even happening in our world as people become more intrigued with technology. But again, as always, we have to distinguish religion from spirituality. Religion is, in its purest sense, is what we create in order to give our spirituality a focus and a context. But religion becomes institutionalized, and then it begins to become something else. There's an interesting passage about this in the book Greater Community Spirituality. This is a Greater Community book of theology that is now in worldwide circulation, and I'd like to read a couple of sentences, if I may,
this.
The first chapter is, what is God? And in this, it's describing God of the greater community, not just God of our one world. And then it says here, in the greater community spirituality, there are no heroes, there is no creation story, and there is no culminating experience to bring an end to the difficulties of corporeal life. So what is religion without these things? Ask this question. And again, where it takes us is to the power and presence of knowledge within us. This is how God speaks to us at the deepest core of our being. This is what religion means in the greater community, because between races of beings who are so vastly different in appearance and in psychology from one another, the link, the inner link, is the link of knowledge. If another race has kept knowledge alive in their world, if it's maintained as a focus, as a pivotal point, then we would be able to communicate to that race beyond words, beyond symbols, beyond all the ways that we try to express ourselves on a very fundamental, intuitive way. We would understand each other through a deeper channel of communication than we usually ever practice here on Earth.
I would think so, because truth is truth. It doesn't change just because you're a different race or because, you know, you're a different kind of being. Truth is truth. It's not going to change. So it would be the same everywhere.
It would have a common denominator
right.
in the universe. It would have a common basis of creation. And I think that common basis of creation is what ultimately will unite us. It is what ultimately gives us a powerful experience of what the divine presence really is, whether we're both within our religious traditions and beyond our religious traditions. It gives us a connection to life beyond our world, and it gives us the ability to discern the nature and intentions of those whom we're encountering now and whom we may encounter in the future. It represents such a potent power in the individual. We see what individuals powered by knowledge have been able to accomplish through one life in terms of what they've been able to create in any field of endeavor, how they've been able to inspire people, and the wisdom they've been able to bring into the world. This powerful wisdom resides in all of us. And in the greater community, it is extremely rare, and it will determine our destiny. That's how powerful it really is. And so ultimately we come down to this core of who we are, because after a while it's not about technology anymore.
Oh,
it's about
right,
something
exactly.
much deeper.
Sure. I was going to ask you, we kind of briefly touched on it, are the spirits, I mean the animated part that inhabits these biological transducers we call bodies, are the spirits that inhabit us, called humans, all human in origin, or do they come from other worlds and other forms?
Knowledge is beyond form. It takes form. It functions within the physical realm. It functions through us as we are in a physical realm. But ultimately, it is beyond form, and that is why it is beyond definition. It represents the great mystery at the core of our lives. And it also gives us a sense of destiny beyond this world and a sense of origin beyond this world. And I think knowledge, the way that knowledge expresses itself in my experience and what I have seen through the writings in the greater community teachings here, is that knowledge is here to fulfill a specific function in the world for each person. Each person is here to do something very unique. And if they can discover that, experience that, and follow that, they will have an opportunity to live life at a much greater level, and a level that is in keeping with where the world is and what the world needs. And so this connection begins to open up in all directions at the level of knowledge.
Well, for many people, that level of living, that level of life involves helping others, teaching others, and watching others improve. Are there any humans on the world, on the planet today, who are ancient in development or who bring to the world a collection of experiences that might be helpful to the world if they get the chance to share it?
Oh, there's no doubt that that is the case. And I don't think anyone has plumbed the depths of what they really have brought into the world with them. And again, this is the mystery of knowledge. I mean, we are living life at a very superficial level compared to what is really possible and even destined for us. But when we come into the world, we enter a state of amnesia. And we do that in part so that we can be in the world, because if you were to recall your ancient home while you're in the world, you wouldn't want to be here, because the world is a difficult place to be in.
I don't know. This is a pretty neat planet.
Well, they all tell us that there are realms far more wonderful than this, beyond the visible range. But in any matter, we are here for a purpose. We've come into the world. We've been sent here for a purpose. Knowledge within us carries this purpose, and this purpose is connected to where the world is and what is happening and what the real needs of humanity will be. And each of us is uniquely designed to provide a unique kind of service, and it may be to one person, it may be to a group of people, it may be to a nation. And in rare cases, it may be a service to the entire world. And in discovering that and in experiencing that, we find a kind of fulfillment that you cannot find anywhere else.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. Well, we're going to take a four-minute break right now, actually 5 minutes 32 seconds, and we'll be back with more of Marshall Summers. We're reviewing his book, Allies of Humanity. And don't go away, because it's going to be a magnificent hour. Friends down at NRG Resources have introduced the new engine oil technology. TVT 24/7 is the future of lubrication. This is the industry's first environmentally friendly oil additive that not only increases fuel mileage, it reduces engine, gearbox, and transaxle wear to nothing. The other brands fail anti-friction testing in less than 10 minutes under standard testing conditions. TVT 24/7 went more than 24 hours in the test and still did not fail. Get tomorrow's technology today by visiting the online store at X Squared Radio and pick up TVT 24/7 Engine Oil Energizer. There is some place you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the six-part series is now available for pre-purchase at $5 off. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today. If you have survived a disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio.
Extends life. advice, expand consciousness. The spice is vital to space travel.
Welcome back to X Squared Radio. I can't tell you how glad I am that you are here. We're coming to you live from Eastern Washington State up against the Canadian border. It's 104 degrees outside today, not like it has been in the past. My AccuWindow forecast says no rain, no clouds. Hey, the 2008 Extraordinary Technology Conference is coming up July 31st. Through August 3rd, that is the conference date. It's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. If you want to find out about it, how to be part of it, how to see the many speakers that are going to be there, go to teslatech.info and find out about that. Dr. Lynn Horowitz, Omar Amin, David Yurth, Sir Charles Schultz, and I will be speaking there on Thursday night to kick things off, so make your way down there. I definitely think you'll enjoy it. Also, next weekend in Trout Lake, Washington, is the World Transformation Conference, Trout Lake, Washington. If you want to find out about that one, go to ECETI, ECETI.org. James Gilliland is running that show down there. And I'll be there also on Thursday night. My friend Michal Ledwith and John Riley and others will be there, I promise. You will have an experience you'll never forget. In an interview with the Sunday Telegraph, Buzz Aldrin, the former astronaut, revealed that he intends to lobby Barack Obama and John McCain, the two U.S. presidential candidates, in an effort to ensure they find sufficient funds for NASA's goal to establish a permanent base on the moon, and then send a manned mission to Mars. NASA celebrates its 50th anniversary this year, but faces grave embarrassment. The ill-fated shuttle is due to make its last flight in 2010. That's just 2 years away, but it will be a further 5 years before its replacement, the Ares rocket and Orion crew capsule, also intended for trips to the moon, are ready. In that time, American astronauts will have to hitch lifts on Russian Soyuz flights merely to visit the International Space Station. Earlier this month, Rick Gilbreth, the head of the space agency's Lunar Exploration Program, warned that Chinese astronauts were on schedule to get to the moon by 2017 or 2018, 2 or 3 years before America is due to return. So, we're going to be left behind on Earth. Oil prices are expected to reach $170 as demand for fuel is growing in the U.S. during the summer period and the dollar continues to weaken against the euro, Khalil said today in a telephone interview. The leader of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries also serves as Algeria's oil minister. The rising cost of crude is not linked to supply, Khalil said today. There's more than enough oil in the market to meet the international demand, says the OPEC president, who will take part in a June 30th in an international energy forum in Madrid. The decisions made by the U.S. Federal Reserve and European Central Bank helped the devaluation of the dollar, which pushed up oil prices, Khalil said. Yeah, good for farmers, bad for the oil business. My guest tonight is Marshall Vian Summer. He took his book, The Allies of Humanity, to a new height tonight, and we're going to talk about it for one more hour. He has an urgent message about the extraterrestrial presence in the world today. And in this hour, we're going to share with our listeners the big picture for this planet. Welcome back, Marshall.
Good to be here. Thank you.
By the way, I want to remind you all as listeners that our phone lines are open this hour. So we had a couple calls the first hour. The phones will be open for the next 2 hours. So we'll take calls concerning this all night. The phone numbers are at two different places. If you're listening on the internet, you can either go to x2-radio.com or to bbsradio.com and find those numbers. There are more than enough phone lines. We'll stack them up if we have to. But a great interview tonight, great insights. And I have to say, the book reads so well. I mean, you could just sit down and read it in an afternoon. But you don't want mine. I've got Post-it notes sticking out of almost every page. Marshall, you talk about the creator. Is there just one creator? And if so, who is he or she?
Well, in the book Creator Community Spirituality, which is part of my series of books about our future and our destiny within this greater community of intelligent life, God is described, interestingly, as the sum of all relationships, and even beyond the sum of all relationships, as not an individual, not as a personality, but as a great attraction, that there is a divine attraction, and that it speaks to a part of us that we barely know, and that is described as a deeper knowledge within us. In the chapter in Greater Community Spiritually on What is God, it says that God must be expressed in terms of your range and experience and your capacity for experience. In the greater community, God is knowledge. In the greater community, God is experience. Now, we're talking about God of all worlds, of all races, of all beings, not just a human God or a God of our history, a Jehovah of our particular world and worldly experience, but a God of the entire universe, of countless races of beings at all stages of technological and spiritual evolution. And this idea of God is really important because it brings the experience of God back down inside of us, to a core of us, to a deeper intelligence that we all carry, and we all, at one time or another, have experienced insights or messages, encouragement or restraint from this deeper intelligence. And this represents what is really translatable in terms of spirituality within a greater community, where the cultures and the practices and the environments are so very different from one another. Even here on Earth, you know, people from different religious traditions have difficulty finding common ground. So you can imagine the difficulty of finding common ground in a greater community where life forms and environments are so vastly different from one another. But there is this common element, this common denominator of spirituality in the universe.
My producer is letting us know we do have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, Brooks, it's Juliana. I'm calling from Florida.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mr. Marshall, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
I have quite a long question here for you, but I've been listening to you, and I agree 100% with a lot of the stuff you're saying. But being a Gemini and very analytical and liking to get to the core and the bottom of all information that I've been listening to for years and years regarding the extraterrestrials, I need to ask you some questions humbly with all respect, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. You said that this was revealed to you by an angel. How do you know without a doubt that this one that gave you this information was an angel? There's so many people here now getting information from channeled sources, and each say that theirs is the truth, and how do you know, or how do we know anymore who to believe? And how do we know that each one that is giving us information is really information for the betterment of the human race? And maybe there are many different races out there that's telling us that they have good intent and it's all good interests for us, the human race. But maybe they each only care about their own agenda or their own interests, trying to fool us into, you know, believing them and trusting them, and maybe we're just being fooled by them like we've been fooled here and misled by the human race for many years. And if there are other places more wonderful, they're saying, than Earth, why are they here? And if it's because of the natural resources, and they consider Earth as a prize because, you know, to them this is a prize, how can we trust them and believe what they is true? What is the credibility of all of this? Because what really is the source? Who is this person giving you this information? Because this is most important and serious information that you're so generously sharing with us, and I do so appreciate it. But I feel that it's very important for us to know this question, the answer to this question, because this is most serious and important to the human race right now because of the critical condition that the Earth is at right now, as well as the mental psyche of the people here on Earth. There's many people now afraid of many things that is going on here on Earth, as well as there's many people afraid of the extraterrestrials.
Okay,
so if you
Juliana,
could please explain that, I'd really appreciate it, sir. I'll just sit back and listen, okay?
All right.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Actually, it's a very important series of questions because there is a lot of, I think, very polluting information out there. There's a lot of very difficult things that are being communicated, and it can be difficult to discern, you know, what's real, what's honest, what's truthful amidst all the noise that is happening. First of all, most of my work has come from an angelic source, and this angelic source has established for me a connection with these group of observers in the universe who call themselves the Allies of Humanity. As I mentioned earlier in a conversation with Brooks, that the angelic presence, the value of these writings have proven to be immensely beneficial, immensely uplifting, and very pure in intent. And I think when you go and read Greater Community Spirituality or Steps to Knowledge or the two volumes of Wisdom from the Greater Community, you can see for yourself, and I invite readers to visit the New Message website at www.newmessage.org. Much of these writings are up for people to read, and I think this truth will speak to you, and you can see this for yourself. So I'm not asking people to believe me without actually going and experiencing these writings. On the Allies of Humanity internet site, www.alliesofhumanity.org, I have put the entire first set of briefings up to be read online or download or printed for anyone to read. There's no cost to do this. I want people to have this information. I want people to experience what I consider to be very ethical contact by this group of observers. And so regarding their authenticity, I think you look at their message. What are they encouraging? Are they encouraging us to believe in extraterrestrials? Are they encouraging us to follow those who are in our world today? No, they are not. They are asking us to trust knowledge within ourselves. They are asking us to use wisdom and discernment regarding any who come to this earth, particularly those who come here claiming that they're here for the best interests of humanity. They're revealing the extraterrestrial presences here in the world today, warning us about the dangers of this presence and what its activities are. And so the briefings, to me, represent what ethical contact really is at this point. Because it is clear to me that humanity is really not ready for contact within the greater community of intelligent life. We just do not yet have the unity and the wisdom and the discernment to be able to function successfully in a self-determined manner within this larger arena of life. And the allies are giving us information to help us prepare to do just that. So when you read the briefings and you really see what they're telling us and what they are encouraging humanity to see, to know, and to do, you can see that there's really very little self-interest in it. The briefings do tell us that they do have self-interest in that they want to see humanity emerge as a free and self-determined race in the greater community. I think that when people question whether they can trust me or my source, I always direct them to the writings themselves. Go read this material. See how it speaks to you. You have to be the final judge in the meaning and the value of these writings. And to hear, actually on the New Message site, you can hear the voice of the angelic presence speaking to me. I have begun to make these original recordings available free online to people. You can actually hear the voice of the angelic presence delivering the teachings in the New Message teaching. I want people to hear this voice. I want people to read these words and have their own experience. You don't have to believe me. All I'm asking you to do is to go have your own experience and trust what knowledge within you tells you. Even if the words you read or the voice you hear challenges your ideas or asks you to rethink or reconsider something that you already believe in, I still am very certain that when most people go and really listen to the voice of the New Message and to read these writings, the impact will be significant. And already, you know, I'm getting messages from all over the world of people who have been able to read the briefings, to read the New Message teachings, and are having a major experience with them. So I think in answer to your question, please go and read these writings, hear the voice of the New Message, read the first set of Allies of Humanity briefings, free online, have your own experience.
And what's that website again?
The Allies of Humanity website is www.alliesofhumanity.org. ORG because we're a nonprofit.
Right.
The New Message website is www.newmessage.org. And on both of these sites, we have a tremendous amount of writings for people to read. It's there for you to experience.
Great. Great. All right, we have another caller on the line. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Mark from Nashport, Ohio.
Hi, Mark. Welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you very much. Marshall, first of all, can you describe the physical appearance of the races that are here?
I can describe what the briefings have given us. We're dealing with a multiracial hierarchical organization, and so the intervention has many faces. What people usually witness, if we want to talk about the classic gray extraterrestrial, that is a suit. You're not seeing the actual being there. You're seeing an environmental suit, basically, because none of these beings can breathe our atmosphere. None of them can function here. And we're dealing with, again, a multiracial hierarchical organization. So that is why people are having different experiences in their sighting experiences. And some of these experiences are actually projections by the intervention itself. People aren't really seeing what's there. They're seeing what's being projected into their minds. And this represents part of the power that these visiting races can demonstrate in our midst.
Are the races that are here, are they working with the New World Order?
Actually, they're trying to establish their own New World Order, and they're recruiting people to help them do that. So it's important not to assume that the races who are here are necessarily working collusion with various, secret societies of human beings. I think there's a lot of associations made there, but you have to be very careful in doing that. The intervention is functioning with impunity here, and it is seeking support and assistance from various human counterparts. Not all of which are in collusion with it, not all of which are supporting it.
Now, the human counterparts, are these members of government, or are they just the average, school teacher, policeman, farmer guy?
Well, the briefs don't actually talk about what's going on inside of our governments because the observers, the Allies observers, aren't here on our planet. They're not interfering in human affairs. They're not trying to, manipulate human perception. And so they're being observers from afar, and they're giving us the missing pieces, I think, to the extraterrestrial presence in the world today, the presence of those visiting from the greater community. What they have said, however, based upon our transmissions into space, since we transmit everything we do into space, which is entirely foolish, is that there are those within our governments who are aware of the intervention and support it, and there are those in our governments who are aware of the intervention and do not support it. So it is a complex situation, and I think we have to treat that whole subject with a great deal of care. It's easy to make casual associations, but I think the situation is actually more complex than that.
Mark, where are you going with that? What do you want to find out?
Well, one of the questions I have here is many people are not even convinced yet that there is other intelligent life in the universe. So it seems to me that the first issue that we have is to try to convince the world of the reality of the alien presence, and then we need to decide what to do from there. Could you speak to that?
Well, I think, yes. Convincing the world of anything is pretty daunting and maybe not possible. Half the world is barely able to survive, and that's their main concern. I think the most important question before us now is to come back to the essential questions. Who is here, why are they here, and what must we do as the native peoples of this world? That is speaking to the people who are already aware that there is such a presence in the world, which is probably a pretty significant number of people, though most people are still very secretive with their own experiences, and I can understand why that is the case. I wanted to mention one thing that's important, and that is why these allies of humanity are not here. Their mandate is non-interference. They can share with us their wisdom and their perspective as they are doing through the Allies of Humanity briefings. But their mandate is specifically non-interference, because when you interfere with another race, you end up in the position of having to influence them and in some cases control their thinking, perception, and behavior. And when you do that, you've crossed the kind of line beyond which your behavior no longer becomes ethical. It's no longer in the interests of those you are intending to serve. And in the greater community, free races function with great anonymity. They do not want to expose themselves to other forces in the universe, because free worlds and worlds that are not free do not coexist very well. And you can imagine why that would be the case. So free races, such as those that are represented by these allies' briefings, certainly do not want to come and establish a forcible presence in our world. What they want to do is give us the wisdom that we need to make intelligent decisions about how we are going to conduct ourselves here and how we are going to conduct ourselves regarding contact with other races. And as far as the allies are concerned, and certainly what I see now and did not see before clearly, is the importance of humanity establishing its intentions. And there's a very important website that I would like to invite you to visit. On that website is a document called the Declaration of Human Sovereignty. This is a document that was modeled after the Declaration of Independence in the United States. It is regarding contact with extraterrestrial nations and forces. And I'll give you that website. The whole thing is there for everyone to read. It's a beautiful document. It begins to establish rules of engagement and ethics of contact. And it's been immensely valuable to have this document. It was written by a number of people who were very moved by the Allies of Humanity briefings and the New Message teachings. That site is www.humansovereignty.org. And I'll spell sovereignty because it's a confounding word to spell. S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N-T-Y. And the first paragraph of the Declaration of Human Sovereignty states, "We, the people of Earth, extend greetings to all races in the greater community of the universe. We acknowledge our common heritage before the Creator of all the universe, both visible and invisible. We declare our planet Earth as humanity's planet of genesis, our home world, and our sacred inheritance. And we pledge thenceforth to sustain and preserve the Earth for all generations to come. We call upon all humanity to treat all races everywhere with wisdom and justice here on Earth and throughout the universe." So it proceeds from there, and it's a magnificent document. I invite all your listeners to go and read this for themselves.
All right, thanks. That's all I had. I'll listen offline.
Good, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Marshall, in your book, you have two goals that you would like to accomplish. What is the first goal?
My first goal is to bring people to the reality of knowledge within themselves, its power and its importance for living in the world at this time. That, I think, is at the core, because anything that I present, whether it's insights into the reality of life in the universe, the nature of our evolution, how people can live and build the four pillars of their life, their pillar of relationships, their pillar of health, pillar of work, and pillar of spiritual development, I always have to come back to the power and the presence of knowledge in the individual, because this is what gives us not only the vision of what we must do, but the strength to do what we must do. Everybody has things they know they must do they haven't done. And some of these things have been there for a long time. What gives us the strength to do what we know we must do is the power and the presence of knowledge. If someone has that, you are feeding them for their whole life. That's that old adage of giving someone a fish, you know, or teaching them to fish. It is like connecting someone with that which will guide and protect them through whatever might occur. And it's a very, very powerful force. My second goal is to bring this new message into the world, which prepares us for our future in the greater community, which teaches us what we must know about our future here on Earth. It teaches us how we can establish our common ground in the protection of our world and in the fulfillment of our destiny in the greater community. It's phenomenal. It contains things that I have never seen anywhere else. And it's vast. I mean, its teachings cover over 100 different topics. And many of these are on the New Message internet site, www.newmessage.org, and people can go there and to listen to the voice of the New Message, which is the angelic voice that has spoken to me for 25 years, and to read the writings, these revelations, that many of which we have up online now, and to go there and to have this experience. So those are my two goals.
Well, the education process, let's talk about that. I think that, you know, it can be accomplished on many fronts, including media, such as films and books, and even legislation. I think that most people are at least familiar with the idea that we are being visited and that there is definitely some kind of agenda among the aliens who are coming here. Is there something more that we could be doing to improve awareness and our education besides inviting a group of the greater community's craft to come here and make themselves visible? I mean, do you think that there is something that we could plan with them to bring a more rapid rate of awareness to the world?
Well, I think that what we have here on Earth is what we need. The briefings very strongly discourage us, for example, from receiving any technology from another race. They say that is just a seduction and will only lead to dependence, and that what humanity will need is what we already have, and that the impetus now for human unity and cooperation is literally the future of humanity and our freedom within a greater community of intelligent life. That this becomes and will become and needs to become the overarching emphasis, because otherwise we will, at very great risk of entering into ongoing conflict over the remaining resources of the world. We're seeing this already. Humanity is a great danger of increasing competition, conflict, and war. The mandate here really makes war so impractical and so self-defeating. For if we are to be a strong race, if we are to be a free race within a greater community of intelligent life, we have to meet three requirements. The briefings identify three requirements that all worlds must establish if they are to establish and maintain self-determination within this greater community of intelligent life.
All right,
The first is unity, the second is self-sufficiency, and the third is extreme discretion. And we can certainly talk about that after this particular caller.
What was the first one?
Unity.
Unity.
But it must be a unity based on freedom and not on oppression.
Right, right. Okay, caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Lyle from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hi, Lyle. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Now, is your guest name is Mark?
My name is Marshall. Marshall Summers.
I'm sorry. The thing that I wanted to say, I'm going to... What do the intelligences that are communicating with you, what do they say about the downed spacecrafts from other worlds that we've got the technology from? In specifically as it relates to our growth.
Well, they do not address this in particular. But they do warn us about accepting gifts of technology from any race. He's saying, telling us very clearly that that would only be a seduction. It's like giving, you know, it would clearly be not in our best interest to receive anything of that nature. Now, there's no mention of what the things that you're referring to.
That's not saying that it hasn't been done.
That's not saying it hasn't happened.
Right.
Well, the next thing that I was going to go to is going to sort of touch on what an earlier caller talked about the New World Order. As we know, when people get a lot of money, and I'm not talking just a few million, but tens of billions up, they are less likely to relinquish control. Now, in my reading and understanding, I think that's why we're going to have to go through this period that they call the purge, where, you know, some of us will die, because that's the only way that we're going to find unity among each other, because they have done the ones that are in charge have done a good job in getting us to argue with each other about politics, about different ethnic groups, about different religions. So there has to be an external event, and when I say external, I mean the upcoming floods and other items that will cause us to reevaluate things.
Right.
But
a wake up call.
I was going to say with the resources, don't be conned by the limited resources and the belief that oil, there's a shortage of oil, because they have found out that they have gone to old wells, opened them up again, and there's oil back there. So it's not produced by dinosaur remains, but aerobic or aerobic. So these are contrived things to get us to fight with each other. The ruling elite on this planet want to get the population reduced by 80 to 90%. So that's why I say, unless there's something, because, you know, unless we rise up against the ruling class, right now what they're doing is they're eliminating the middle class. And so I don't see a way to get to where who you're communicating with I don't see us getting to that point until these, until we go through the purge, basically.
Well, I can comment on a certain part of what you said, and that is that the power that is being exerted, the influence being exerted on this earth by foreign races, is far more hazardous to us than any human organization here. And I think what we're really facing is a new world disorder that is a product of our own functioning here, our own misuse of the planet, and that no government or secret group is in control, even though there's a lot of emphasis on making people think that there is some small group that's controlling everything. I think that in itself is a conspiracy. And I'm not very given to conspiracy theories beyond the extraterrestrial presence here, given what has been revealed to me through the New Message teaching and the Allies of Humanity briefings. I think it's very important. What I want to say is that no human beings should be fighting human beings under any circumstance for any reason. That is self-defeating as we stand at the threshold of space. Just in the reality of the greater community, that is the worst thing that we can do for any reason by any group whatsoever.
Well, there's no doubt, but I could see where Lyle's coming from. So, you know, if alien collectives are working only with the leaders of the world, and we admit that there are only a few countries who can really be considered leader countries to this planet right now, then it makes sense that they are concentrating their energies on ruling governments. It also makes sense that they would be working with U.S. government leaders. And that kind of leads us, because we don't really trust our U.S. government leaders, to believe that there's some kind of alien shenanigans going on here, and that somehow these alien collectives are behind keeping our world in conflict, fighting over resources or one thing or another, at all times, to keep us unfocused from going out into space and becoming a part of the galactic community.
Yes. Well, that is very accurate, and as long as we do not assume that every leader is being so influenced, I think that's very important.
Sure.
It is, the influence is there, and the deception is there. And some people have said to me that the most powerful economic leaders in the world would oppose this intervention, but in reality, they're the ones most likely to be seduced by it.
Sure.
With offers of technology, offers of domination, offers of extreme advantage, who amongst them could refuse such temptations?
Well,
so,
they don't refuse offers of re-election, that's for sure.
Well, it's actually the most important individuals here are probably not the ones that you will ever see who have the greatest influence. So we're dealing with a very complex situation here. And it is very important to not make too many simple associations before you have really explored the writings and the briefings. And I invite our questioner to read these briefings and to consider them deeply for himself.
Well, I do agree with you that I believe that there is a group of individuals that are in charge, but I also believe that they may be getting help from, let's say, some off-worlders to create this disorder. Because I read in a book that they said that there are some alien races that want to help us, and then there are some that want to see us fail. And to go back, or to get your ideas, there are a lot of people that are claiming that they hear messages from aliens. And I wanted to find out how many of those, if you're off-worlders, talk to you about that. And, some of the messages are conflicting. Some say, don't do anything to harm anybody else. But in a way, that how can we get rid of the evil if we are just to lay down? At some point, something has got to happen. And I don't, there's always a struggle between good and evil. And I don't know if good can win by just allowing evil to have its way.
Well, this is a very important issue you're bringing up right here. And what I can tell you what I see is that we come back again to the power of knowledge. If people cannot be deceived, they will not be deceived. And what prevents people from being deceived is this power and presence of knowledge. There are so many influences in our world, even between and amongst and within our human family. There are so many influences upon the world now from forces beyond the world that you have to come back to this core strength in the individual. Without that, then you're going to be persuaded by something. And I have seen the power of this persuasion working in the most phenomenal and dangerous ways. And that is why I have to come back to the power, this power and the presence, that men and women of knowledge are the antidote to evil in this world. They are the antidote to evil everywhere.
Sure
if the human family succumbs to foreign persuasion, whether it is translated through human leadership or not, we will have given away the most precious thing we have in this world, which is our freedom, our self-sufficiency, and our self-determination.
That's
right. And that is why the opposition, instead of throwing us into the throes of more warfare, has to be established and encouraged, you know, through education. And I'd like to read a passage. This is from the first set of the Allies of Humanity briefings, the fourth briefing. It tells us, quote, "The stronger you are with knowledge, the more you become a force that opposes intervention and manipulation, and the more you become a force for freedom and integrity for your race." And this,
exactly.
Down below in the first set of briefings, in the third briefing regarding government, it says, quote, "Attempts will be made to persuade the leaders of the strongest nations to become receptive to the presence of the visitors and to receive gifts and inducements for cooperation with the promise of mutual benefit and even the promise of world dominion to some. There are those in the corridors of power in the world who will respond to these inducements." So what you're bringing up, this connection, is very, very real. But the antidote, the power that the Creator has put within us to all people to recognize and to resist seduction and manipulation ultimately becomes the most potent force for human action.
No question about it. The intervention itself
is relying entirely upon human acquiescence and human persuasion to achieve its goals.
Exactly.
Its entire function is based upon our acquiescence and our persuasion. Either we believe they're here for our good, or we feel powerless to resist.
Well, it goes beyond belief, too, because as your knowledge increases, you're going to be empowered with discernment. Even in religious sects, for instance, in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve are being ejected from Eden after confessing that they've been involved with Lucifer, Lucifer is this immensely powerful being, and he just simply says, well, I'm going to take over all the bodies that you make for Adam and Eve. And God says something pretty interesting there. He says, I will put enmity between you and the seed of the woman. You will have power to bruise his heel, but he will have power to crush thy head. Now, I'm just kind of tossing a little bit of religious text there, or at least a historical text, because what Marshall is saying is exactly right. The sovereignty of our own individual knowledge is what cannot be overcome by any force in the universe.
I agree with you, and in fact, I can't remember the passage, but basically Jesus said that the power is within. Whatever you're seeking is within us to find it. We just have to turn our attention in upon itself to find the answers.
Yes.
And
whatever else we do, we must do that. And I really appreciate your question here. It's very important.
Excellent question.
And I thank you for your time and allowing me to ask the question.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Thanks, and have a nice evening.
Thank you, Lyle. All right. Well, that is fantastic. Now, Marshall, I know you said you can't stay with us another hour, but I have to ask this question. We've been saying for a while on this program that sometime in the next 2 years, an event we call Global First Contact will occur. Now, I know people have claimed this has already occurred in one form or another. There's been a lot of sightings. But there's not really been a flyby in broad daylight at low altitudes before the entire world right down Main Street to really convince everyone once and for all that we are part of a greater community of peaceful beings. Do you feel that this is something that might be part of that awareness and education process?
Well, I have to say that anyone who would do that in our world would not represent a friendly or benevolent presence. Anyone who would try to assert themselves at our stage of development, before we have gained unity and cooperation, before we have gained a handle on the great environmental problems that we have, any race that would do that would be here to take advantage of us, to threaten us. It would be a display of power. And it would not be a benign teaching that we live in a greater community. That is very important for us to understand. We don't need someone to come and do a demonstration of power or a display of power to know that you live in a greater community. There are millions of people around the world who have had sightings. Some of them have had direct encounters. We know this is happening, even if we're afraid to talk about it. Okay, we'll continue.
All right, well, I understand what you're saying, but I was thinking that maybe an event like that would be something that would say, okay, all right, now maybe we can come together as a race and quit squabbling over small pieces of real estate. But let's see how many of these calls we can knock out in the next 7 minutes. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from.
Yes, am I on?
Yes, you're on.
My name's Linda, and I'm calling from Kansas City.
Hi, Linda. Welcome to the program. Do you have a question for Marshall?
Yes, I do. Marshall, if your books and message ring true to us, and I have to say that they certainly do with me, what can we do, number one, personally, to prepare for this? And number two, to help you spread the word.
Well, thank you, Linda, for that question. I think we have to become educated first. We have to see the situation clearly. If we don't see the situation clearly regarding the presence of foreign powers in our midst, then no amount of new information is really going to help. I mean, we have been looking at this, many people have been looking at this for decades, and we don't seem to be able to fathom the bottom line of what is happening. So ultimately we have to ask ourselves, why can't I see this and know this for what it is? And here again, I invite our readers to read the Allies of Humanity briefings. They're available free on the internet now, www.alliesofhumanity.org. There's a whole section on the Allies briefings called Taking Action, What You Can Do. It begins with an emphasis on educating yourself. Resist the influence of the pacification program that the briefings describe as part of the intervention's activities here on Earth to make people feel that they either can't resist this intervention or that they shouldn't resist it. Become aware of the influence on your thinking and feelings through the mental environment. And ultimately, to study the greater community way of knowledge, to learn the skills and the knowledge and wisdom that this new message teaching has brought to us to prepare us for our future and our destiny within a greater community of intelligent life. This education is immense, and what it does is it begins to connect us with the wisdom that we've always had. that has been clouded or distorted by our cultures, by our upbringing, by our own fear, and to begin to build a foundation there, because if we're wise stewards of this world, we can resist intervention. We can establish our own rules of engagement. We can eventually get to a place of stability in our world, and we really will need stability, to be able to engage with other races who could be beneficial to us. But those races will not come here until we establish that unity. And that
gotcha.
Position of non-intervention is very important to remember.
Very good. Thank you for the call, Linda.
Thank you.
All right, let's see if we can get a couple more callers in here. A caller, your first name and where you're calling from.
This is Aaron, and I'm calling from Colorado.
Hi, Aaron. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. My message for Marshall is this. In the short term, Marshall, what do you see, and what does the new message, what might the new message say about changes that humanity has to face? And how are these changes going to fit into the larger picture of the future?
Okay, that's really good, Aaron. Thank you. The new message talks about the importance of us to begin to preserve our natural environment and to share the resources of the world equitably, because if we exhaust them, we will become increasingly unstable and increasingly unable to deal with any kind of interface with intelligent life beyond our world. The specter of war, which is now looming ever greater, as nations line up to compete with each other for remaining resources, is really the worst thing that could happen as we stand at the threshold of space.
Sure.
We must really begin to recognize that united we can succeed, but divided we will fail. There are great waves of change coming to our world. There's environmental degradation. There's resource depletion. There's growing economic instability. There's a growing risk of competition, conflict, and war. We're facing actually a set of converging great waves of change, as I call them, that has the power to totally destabilize human civilization to such an extent that no human group could benefit from it. They would lose control completely in a situation like that. We cannot go there. We have to take seriously the power and the consequences of these great waves of change. We're going to have to change how we live. We're going to have to live more simply, more equitably. The resources of the world are going to have to be preserved and shared more equitably. We're going to have to take care of one another here on Earth, because there's no one in the universe who is going to come and save us. We must save ourselves. That is the price of becoming a free and self-determined people in the universe.
Very good. Very good. Great question.
Thank you, Aaron, for that.
Thank you, Aaron. And I might add, too, as we covered in the first hour, misuse or abuse of the environment will only hasten intervention by some race who does not have our best interest in mind. Caller, let's take one more. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from. Do we have another caller on the line? No. Okay.
Hello.
That's good. Oh, are you there? Caller, your first name?
Yeah, if you're talking to me, my name is Robin. I'm calling from Montana.
Hi, Robin from Montana. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I felt from a very young age that I am a starseed, and I am not originally from here. However, this is not probably the first lifetime here. Now, going to the technology, I wouldn't be listening to the show on the computer if they hadn't given us some technology. And that's one thing I would like to address. Another thing, or like Marshall to address, another thing is I feel that they are, some of the visitors now are us in the future. And they are our family. and they're not foreign. They belong here. And the other thing is, there was one more thing, but maybe that's enough for now, if he could address those two things.
Okay.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Yes.
The other thing was that we've been held back by these powers elite, the cabal, whatever you want to call them, the Illuminati. Maybe we would have gotten the technology on our own to talk to each other, listen to shows on the computer on our own, without the fiber optics, without all the, you know, the all of that. And if we would have, would we have?
Well, it does seem kind of strange that we go from horseback to space travel in less than 100 years. So, after, what, 30,000 years of existence on the planet. So, good question, Robin. What say you, Marshall?
Well, I think that we should assume the power of human ingenuity. It's in our best interest to develop certain kinds of technology, and we have and we will continue to do so as long as we don't deplete our fundamental resources. As far as anyone claiming to be family, I think in a spiritual sense that might be true. But be very careful not to confuse levels here, because level confusion is a big problem in understanding the greater community presence in the world today, and I think it's a big problem in understanding the greater community. The New Message teaching talks about spiritual families, and that within our spiritual family are beings from different worlds. It talks about that as a fundamental reality and a part of our heritage, part of our makeup, a part of our ancient history. But on the other hand, it also talks about bringing great clarity and discernment to those who claim to come to the world claiming either authorship for humanity, genetic authorship, or anyone making a claim to ownership of this world, that we should definitely deny that and discredit that, because it is in no way accurate. This is our home planet of origin. It has been given to us as the place within which we evolve. We bring our individual gifts to the world. We try to become conscious while we're in the world, to regain our connection with knowledge while we are in the world. And it's our responsibility now to carry this world forward. That all that a foreign race can do for us in a really ethical manner is to share their wisdom and their insight and perspective with us, as has been done through the Allies of Humanity briefings. Any foreign race that shares their wisdom with us without seeking to interfere or to gain presence or authority here could be very beneficial to us. But if you look at the kind of messages that are being sent to many people, some of them are channeled messages, encouraging humanity to acquiesce, to believe in the presence of a foreign power, to believe that humanity cannot succeed without this foreign power, to believe that humanity cannot succeed without foreign technology. This is intervention. This is undermining the integrity and the intelligence of the native peoples of this world, which is who we are. Everybody who is here, no matter what your history, whether you have had a long history in the greater community, you now are part of the native peoples of this world, and we must function as responsibly as such, learn the lessons of intervention, the lessons of nature, if we are to proceed and to maintain and build human freedom and self-determination here.
Great answer. Did that answer your question, Robin? Nope, I think Robin's gone back to Montana. Okay, that was a great question. I personally know some very well-organized and fairly well-funded groups who are all about trying to get at the alien technology that has been gleaned by our government one way or another through disclosure or other means, Freedom of Information Act, you name it, lawsuits, because they honestly believe that the aliens that have been here, that have come here, that have traded with us, or that from whom we have taken technology, have the solution for solving our energy crisis on our planet, where we can actually stop burning petroleum fuels for cars and heat and electricity and start using renewable fuels. I don't know if I ascribe to that, and I understand from what you're just telling me, you do not ascribe to that. So, you know, where do we stand? I mean, we need to find out how to deal with
this. This is a significant question because a lot of people are placing all their hope on an extraterrestrial presence and what they think an extraterrestrial presence will do, what they think they have or are capable of. But the window into the local universe that is provided through the New Message teaching and the Allies of Humanity briefings show us a picture of technologically advanced races who are all struggling to get resources. They've all are facing resource depletion. That resources is everything. To think that there's free energy out there or that someone has found a technological solution to the fundamental problems of life is really a dream. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, any technology that's going to be offered to us is going to be an inducement. It's not going to be significant. It's not going to solve our fundamental energy problems. We are going to have to learn to live differently in this world and more responsibly if we really want to solve our energy problems. And we're going to have to use more of our spiritual energy and less dependence on technology if we're going to find an equilibrium living here on the Earth. The races who are visiting us have outstripped their world's resources. They have failed in that regard. They have become dependent upon large commercial networks now to function. Freedom is unknown to them. We should not think that technological advancement equals spiritual advancement. It is important never to make that mistake.
Right.
You know, today we're no more spiritually advanced than we were 100 years ago, but technologically we're doing things that were unimaginable at that time.
Well, I don't know. I have a tendency to think we're a little bit more wise,
There are more people who are spiritually aware, but if you look at us collectively, our technology has not enlightened us. If anything, it has burdened us.
Well, that in one sense...
It has freed us in some ways, and it has burdened us in other ways. And I'm not discounting the value of technology when I say that. But to think it is one salvation, I think, is to make a real mistake.
No, but to put knowledge in the hands of more people, and hopefully some bright person is out there who normally would never, you know, lives in a small town somewhere or a country that's not free, would never have access to information if it wasn't for the net and some, you know, the best library, the best Gutenberg press ever created. And sooner or later, the solutions to these problems are going to be found, and they are going to proliferate because of this technology. So, you know, I think that our wisdom, our ability to learn and become spiritual is advancing, maybe faster than it ever has. But it does definitely lag behind our technological abilities.
That's very correct. And, you know, that's why I'm always a little skeptical when I hear people talk about, you know, New World Order powers, because it's very hard to keep secrets amongst lots of people. And information is flying all over the world now at the speed of light. And people are being educated by one another in phenomenal ways.
Oh, sure.
And so we really do have tremendous advantages now, but we also have tremendous responsibilities. If we're going to have power as a race, we must become responsible as a race. The power and responsibility go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other, without leading us towards self-destruction. This is a really important topic in regarding technology, and I'd like to read this one sentence, this very interesting sentence from the second set of the Allies of Humanity briefings. It says, quote, "If you believe that technology is your salvation, you will be saved for another race who's technologically superior to you."
Sure. Marshall, are you going to stay another half hour with us?
I'd be delighted.
All right, hang on a second. Let's take some quick commercials because we're at the top of the hour. We're actually a little late on them. Let me get these out of the way. We'll be back in about 4 minutes with more. Marshall Summers, don't go away. Fantastic night. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. Have you ever thought about owning a telescope? I mean a really good telescope. Well, at the Discovery Store, you can find the world's best telescopes at great discounts and free shipping. They have come a long way, you know. Most of the comets discovered in the last 50 years were found by amateurs. There is no better way to view the sun than with a coronoscope. Trust me, you will be captivated if you ever get to watch the sun through one of these units. Who knows? You might just save the planet. So plan a trip to the Discovery Store at X Squared Radio. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio. Welcome back, my friends, to X Squared Radio.
Spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness. The spice is vital to space travel.
Don't forget, 2008 Extraordinary Technology Conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, coming up July 31st through August 3rd down at the University of New Mexico. I'll be down there on Thursday the 31st along with several other speakers. It's going to be great. And don't forget the Earth Transformation Conference at Trout Lake, Washington. Get to that at eseti.org. Also wanted to let you know our weather has not really been cooperating lately. Here in Washington State, it is a wheat breadbasket, let me tell you. There are millions of acres of wheat growing up here. Experts are telling me on the ground a 50% crop this year. Not looking good. Iowa, as you know, has been completely flooded, and they're going to have much less corn this year than they've had in years past. So if you have ever given any thought about putting together a food storage program, I highly recommend going to NitroPack. Just click on the NitroPack banner at the X Squared Radio website. Yes, we get a little commission, but trust me, I've checked them out, and we have checked out a whole lot of food supply and emergency supply places, and they're the best. There's no question about it. The others either refused to work with radio programs or didn't want to advertise at all, and they're just nothing but local mom-and-pop outfits. This is the one that will get you what you need. Everything from MREs, dehydrated food, water filters. Let me tell you, nothing can be worse than to be out of your house because of some weather disaster and not having something to eat and something to wear. So get yourself down to NitroPack as soon as you can. My dynamite guest tonight is Marshall Summers. He's the author of a book called Allies of Humanity. Two websites you need to get to, alliesofhumanity.org and humansovereignty.org, and then there's one other, newmessage.org. You need to get to these places and read what information is there. I also want to let you know that The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 3, is now out. Our commercial's a little bit old, but the book is now out. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you want an autographed copy, and we have a special offer coming up July 2nd. I'll tell you about that here in about 60 seconds. You need to go to the X Squared Radio website, click on either the book cover or the Buy Now button at the bottom, and we'll send you an autographed copy at the same price that Amazon's selling the book for. And from July 2nd to August 2nd, we will send you the entire book on audio. So if you're not a great reader, don't worry about it. I read it for you. The reason we're doing that July 2nd is I'm going to be on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, and we're going to talk about the book. So in case you want to get a jump on that crowd, go ahead and get to the website, get your copy on order today. If you haven't read the other two copies of the other two volumes, Volume 1 and Volume 2, definitely hit precursors. Let me tell you, there's a lot of information, almost 2,000 pages between these three books. A lot to do with the origin and destiny of the Earth. Now, back to my guest, Marshall Summers. Welcome back, Marshall.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I think we still have some callers on the line. I want to make sure. Caller, are you there? And your first name and where you're calling from, please. Okay, good. We have now gone through all the lines. They may fill up again because they thought you were only going to be on 2 hours, but we're having such a great time. Just wanted to go ahead and see if we could finish off another half hour. A lot of people are having questions about aliens being here. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but what their mission is here. Is it a single mission, or are there lots of races here for lots of reasons?
Well, the Allies of Humanity briefings tell us that there are several different groups competing here, but these groups are very much like one another, and they're basically here for the same purpose. We have a world that is rich in resources. We are a divided people. We're ignorant about life in the universe. We're very vulnerable to persuasion. We're superstitious. We look at the heavens with hope and longing. Many people believe or expect that anyone who would visit us would give us technology or save us from ourselves. And so we're very predisposed to being easily influenced. When in fact, we're really not paying attention to our native wisdom. We're not listening to the caution that we need to bring towards such an immensely important encounter. And we need to be very careful because the greater community is not a human environment. And we are really at the beginning. And here it is important to distinguish the Allies of Humanity from those races who are intervening in the world today. Okay. The Allies of Humanity have a strict policy of non-intervention because intervention leads to manipulation. And intervention is always carried out for self-interest. And why would any race come to this world to exert so much time and so much effort, unless they had their own agenda that they would not reveal to the native peoples? And that is exactly what we're dealing with here today. We have the presence of foreign powers. They are not revealing their agenda. They are posing as being enlightened. They are posing as having technology that will save us from ourselves. They're functioning with impunity. They're taking people against their will. They have a dreadful abduction program that is programming people, turning people, using people. I mean, this is like having a prowler in your house. If you have a prowler in your house, your first responsibility is to get them out of your house.
Sure.
Because they have no business being there without your permission. And this world is our house. We have a right to determine who can come here and under what circumstances. And we need to exert that authority to whatever extent, using whatever power we have, to exert that authority. Otherwise, we will have no respect in our local universe. We'll be wide open for anyone to come here to do anything that they want to do. If I may, I'd like to read a section from the Declaration of Human Sovereignty, a very powerful document that is modeled on the Declaration of Independence for the United States. As in the Declaration of Independence, there's a section called the Assessment. I would like to read, if I may, a couple of sentences from this, because I think it is very apropos, Brooks, to what you're bringing up in our conversation. The Assessment. When in the course of their evolution it becomes necessary for the native people of a planet to unite, to transcend the conflicts and the differences that have separated them from one another, and to assume among the pioneers the powers of the universe a separate and equal sovereignty, a respectful consideration of that sovereignty requires that they declare the causes which impel them to this present course of action.
Wow.
Now, the assessment goes on to talk about all of the violations that have happened in the planet by foreign powers.
Well, let's
what recourse we should take regarding that.
Let's take a call really quick. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Brooks. Anne from Ontario here.
Hi, Anne. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I've got a quick question for your guest.
Okay.
I'm wondering, on the subject of malevolent versus benevolent ETs, I'm wondering what Marshall thinks who was behind these nuclear missile deactivations that have gone on different military installations throughout the world, and who would be behind this, the malevolent or benevolent ETs? If the benevolent ones are not supposed to be intervening, why are the malevolent ones intervening by deactivating these nuclear warheads?
Well, thank you, Anne, for that question. Clearly, this is a display of power. I mean, that someone from a craft could reprogram the targeting mechanism on a nuclear weapon is a display of power. It's as if to say your military has no power over us. And I consider that to be highly unethical. I mean, that is an aggressive act. It is an attack, you might say. It's intended to threaten and discourage resistance. All these flybys we have of commercial airlines is for the same purpose, is a display of power. And no friendly nation would do that to us. I mean, if someone came to your door and pointed a gun at you, would you consider that a friendly gesture? It's a display of power. And so, I think that we have to look at these kinds of events as being part of the intervention's agenda to discourage resistance and to show human authorities and human institutions to make them think that they have no power to resist. And I think that's an act of aggression purely and would never be carried out by a benevolent force.
Did that answer your question, Anne?
Can you still hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can still hear you.
Oh, okay. Because I hear a little bit of an echo there. Anyways, it answers my question, but I guess it's not that I believe or disbelieve what Marshall is saying. I'm just trying to really understand this myself. But the way I look at it is that we would have probably been blown to smithereens already if it wasn't for the fact of some outside intervention, whether it's a display of power or not. I feel as though if these deactivations had not occurred, maybe not necessarily on military installations, but different shows talking about all these near misses, how we were almost blown to smithereens by some, you know, whether it was bombs that have been accidentally dropped on us. I've heard, you know, channeled information. I've heard, I've read about much information where certain ETs have actually deactivated these bombs trying to save us.
Well, that's an easy claim to make, and I would be, I think that's pretty discreditable, because what the Allies briefings reveal is that those presences are in our world today are not military forces. They're commercial forces. They do not have the power to take the world by force. They certainly don't want to blow up the planet, because that's the very thing that they want to preserve and save for themselves. They don't even want to blow us up because we're useful to them. So this idea of if they're not destroying us, they must be friendly, really does not take into account the reality of the situation. And as I had mentioned earlier, that outright invasion is not allowed in this part of the galaxy. It's just forbidden. No one can do it without bringing immense retribution down upon themselves. So that is part of the rules of engagement that exist in our part of the universe. So if any race wants to establish power or position in this world, they must do it through persuasion, through means that are not military in nature. And that's a very important thing to understand. Otherwise, you would tend to conclude that if they were not aggressively harming us, they must be here for our benefit in some way. And I think a lot of people are making that assumption. If you read the Allies briefings, and I encourage you to do this, because they talk about how these forces are functioning in our world, how much they depend upon human acquiescence and human approval to carry out their agenda here, then it changes the picture very, very considerably. And I think gives you a lot clearer understanding. It makes a lot more things make sense regarding what we already know about the foreign presence in our world today.
He makes a pretty good point, Dan, that, they don't want you to spoil the soup, so to speak, so they're not going to let you blow up anything nuclear, and they're not going to, let the military ride over the people. So, in a way, I could see where it could be interpreted as, we're not going to let you, we're going to show you who's more powerful, that you actually don't have any power. On the other hand, they're also saying, you know, we don't want any more thermonuclear activity on this world.
Well, yes. I mean, they want to save the world for themselves. That it's clearly
exactly
in their best interest to not have us destroy the property, because it's the property that's more important to them than who we are. That's why they show such utter disregard for us in their functioning and in their behavior here in the world.
It's a very interesting take, and I've learned something. At least I'm looking at it from a different perspective now than I actually did before listening to you. So I do appreciate your point of view.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's an interesting, when we look at the history of intervention and more recent history, we see that very small groups of individuals can overtake much larger nations by exploiting the conflict that exists within those nations and the superstition or the false expectations of the native peoples. I mean, how could Cortez, with his 550 men, overtake the most powerful nation in the Western Hemisphere? It certainly was not by force. It was not by advanced technology. It was by exploiting the weakness, the conflicts, and the false expectations of the leaders of that great nation. How could Pizarro, with 162 men, overtake an empire that stretched for 3,000 miles? It wasn't by advanced technology. He actually had the plague precede him, so it helped reduce the resistance. But beyond that, more intelligent races don't use force because they don't need to.
Yeah, look at
that. That is part of the higher education that the greater community can ultimately provide to humanity if we can survive ourselves in the coming years.
Good point. Thanks for the call, Ann.
Thank you.
All right, let's see. I think we have another caller on the line. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, this is Mark from Albuquerque.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Brooks. Good evening, Marshall.
Good evening, Mark.
I'm not calling with a question. Everything you've stated is right on, as far as I'm concerned. It boils down to personal responsibility and knowing within yourself what truth is and not depending on someone else to tell you what truth is. Is that correct?
Well, we do need each other to know the truth. The truth
right.
does exist
well,
within us.
Reinforcement.
Well, we do need some reinforcement. I think, and we need some reinforcement from those races in the universe who could possibly help us understand our situation. And I think that has been given to us in a rather remarkable way, in a mysterious way, certainly, through the Allies of Humanity briefings. But we do need to know the bottom line of certain things. I mean, you can, your imagination can create any kind of scenario. We can imagine any possibility in space. We can think anything could happen. We could imagine what advanced technology could provide for us or how other races live. But we all have to come back to a reality that everyone in the physical universe has to deal with survival and competition. We all have their fundamental problems in surviving in physical reality. Technology provides both advantages and disadvantages in dealing with that. It gives us speed and convenience, but it also separates us from one another in many ways. It helps
That's
us
true.
Communicate
yeah.
ideas, but on the other hand, it can be a substitute for a real relationship. So it has its benefits and it has its liabilities. And this is amplified in the greater community to really extreme levels, where whole races depend upon technology, having destroyed their own home planet's self-sufficiency. And now they're subject to control and influence by many other nations upon whom they depend. And this picture of the universe, I think, is very unromantic, but it's also very real, and it's something that we can understand. And again, we come back to the power and presence of knowledge within us that enables us to discern the truth. When somebody says something that's really real or really true, something in us resonates with that. And ultimately, that's
and
how we can cut through all of the deception and the misunderstanding that separates us. We certainly have different viewpoints about things, and that's fine. But then there is a level of truth that extends throughout all of that. And if we can get back to that level of truth and truth-telling and recognition, I think we're really going to be in a good position to deal with whatever we have to deal with coming over the horizon.
There's hope we can make it if we can do that.
Oh, I think our chances of success are actually higher than most people think. But it will take much higher, as Mark has mentioned, a much higher level of personal responsibility.
And I thank you for acknowledging that. And I wanted to thank you for being the messenger. One
thank
of many.
You,
sir.
I appreciate that.
And Brooks, I can't be with you up at Trout Lake, but since you're coming to my hometown here in Albuquerque, I will see you at the end of July.
That's right.
This is Mark and Mariah, by the way.
At the Tesla Tech Extraordinary Technology Conference, Mark's stomping grounds. And look forward to seeing Mariah down there as well.
I'll see if I can drag her along.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Okay. Let's see, do we have one more caller on the line? Your first name, please.
Hi, my name is Maureen, and I'm calling from Colorado. And,
hi, Marlene. Welcome to the program.
It's Maureen. I want to thank Marshall for taking the time to share his information. It's been very informative, and it makes a whole lot of sense. But I have a question about the abduction phenomenon. And you've touched briefly on the reasons behind why the phenomenon is occurring. But if a person's being abducted, what can be done to prevent it?
Well, that's an important question, and that's actually a question that is addressed in the final briefing, in the first set of briefings, because I think the surprise to many people who have or who suspect they may have had a direct encounter or have been taken against their will. And this is a very important thing to come to terms with, and I think a very difficult thing to come to terms with. And there's been some important research done in these areas, particularly by David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins, the first to come to mind, regarding research in that area. If you oppose intervention, and if you become strong with knowledge, then you cease to be a valuable person to the intervention. You become a danger to them. You become someone who can see through their deception. You can remember what has happened to you. You can remember things they don't want you to remember. You become an unwelcome presence because they're looking for people who can be turned, who can become representatives, who can become supporters. Not only are they looking for people to be used as a kind of breeding stock, which is a terrible thing to imagine, but they're also trying to influence people's minds and emotions. And when you study the actual phenomenon, what has come to light over these past few years regarding what people have collectively and uniformly been able to recall, you'll see this intense effort to stimulate and to implant ideas in people's minds. And it's a very effective tactic. I mean, you terrify someone, you can make them think all kinds of different things, and you can control, to a certain extent at least, what they're going to remember and how they're going to regard that experience if they remember it at all. So the more potent you become with knowledge, the more you remember, the more you see, the more you see through any kind of deception. When people come to term with the fact, if they have been taken against their will, if they have been extremely violated, this is going to create a lot of resistance in them. And once you begin to resist the intervention, you're no longer a desirable subject for it.
Right.
And it's this human resistance that really needs to happen. If the intervention is depending entirely upon human acquiescence and human belief amongst the relatively few people in the world who are aware of it, then what counters its motives is resistance. We resist this.
Let's get back to her question, though. How do you provide resistance to an unwanted abduction?
If you become a person who can see through the deception and are unwilling to yield psychologically or emotionally, you cease to become a desirable subject for their intervention purposes.
I see. In control of your own sovereignty.
That's right. You are not willing to give over your own sovereignty by being taken against your will. That makes you a less desirable subject for their effort in that regard. And this is where human self-determination begins to run against any attempt to dominate or persuade or manipulate human thinking and behavior. And this comes back again to the core of our freedom. And this is part of the resistance and empowerment that humanity must bring to bear in dealing with intervening races from beyond our world. We cannot allow races to come here, function with impunity, taking people against their will, and as long as this is kept in secret, as long as this is kept out of public conversation, then it can go on. But if the outrage of this begins to spread, and people recognize the immense violation this is, a violation that we, having now become aware, will not tolerate, then the intervention is dealing with a very resistant population, and that makes its efforts much more difficult.
Sure.
I think it's important to say at this point, and this is a point brought out in the briefings, that the intervention is a very small force. We're not talking about a vast presence in our world. We're talking about a fairly small presence that is depending entirely upon human persuasion and acquiescence It is not a substantial force as a force. But as we know from our own history, that larger nations can be undermined and overtaken by very small groups.
Sure.
Under the assessment in the Declaration of Human Sovereignty, it tells us, and I quote, extraterrestrial forces have repeatedly and with impunity violated national and international laws of the Earth's people. These offenses, which still continue today, have included violations of restricted airspace, abduction and transportation of humans without their consent, murder, rape, torture, sexual abuse, interbreeding with humans, and cruel experimentation. And, of course, it goes on to list the offenses of the intervention. You know, one abductee, I recall very vividly, told me with the utmost seriousness, he said, you must know that not all who are taken are returned.
Right.
And he right. said this with such gravity, and I could tell for him that it was a heart-wrenching kind of realization, that we're not dealing with a friendly force here. We're not dealing with a presence who values the spirituality or the quality or the stature of humanity. So their behavior demonstrates that, unfortunately.
And does this answer your question? I'm sorry, Marlene?
It does. It sounds like it's a process as well, that it's not something that happens instantly. It's something that you have to work at establishing. Is that correct?
In terms of building your strength, yes. I mean,
yes.
When an abductee realizes that he or she has been severely violated and begins to honestly respond to that, now you're dealing with a person who cannot be easily persuaded. You're dealing with a person who will not agree to represent or to support that force or that power that is taking him or her against their will. You're dealing with someone who's resisting. And the intervention does not want people who are resisting. That makes their work far more difficult. They're looking
it's
for the
not,
path of
not
least
impossible.
Resistance.
Sure. Marlene, thank you for the call, and make sure to call back another time, okay?
Okay.
All right. We have about 3 minutes left, Marshall. Are you going to be appearing anywhere in the near future?
Well, I have a lot of radio interviews lined up, and I have in Boulder, Colorado, we have a monthly Friday evening listening experience where people can come and listen to the voice of the new message. We also have an online worldwide Allies of Humanity study group. If you go to the alliesofhumanity.org internet site, you can sign up and participate in that international study group where people write in with questions and things are discussed and important issues are brought up. You can also link from the Ally site to the Declaration of Human Sovereignty. And I would just like to conclude by acknowledging the power and the presence of knowledge, the divine part of us, which is prepared to deal with the intervention, which is prepared to deal with all the great difficulties, the great ways of change that are coming to our world. We have come here for this purpose. This is not just a mistake or an accident that this is all happening. It is our destiny to be here at this time, every one of us. We have all come here with the power and presence of knowledge. We have all come here for a greater purpose. It's time now for us to reclaim this strength and to begin to discover this purpose and to look at the world with confidence and with strength and with power, for we have this strength and this power within us.
So true. Marshall, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on the program.
Thank you very much.
I am rarely surprised by the quality of the guests that come on this program, but you have gone over the bar. You really did a great job, and the book, Allies of Humanity, is a good read. It's easy to read, lots of room in the margins for notes. I like that part. I recommend it. I'm going to go ahead and put these two links up on the X Squared Radio homepage for a couple months just to keep steering people your way. And I look forward to meeting you someday. Maybe you'll be out on the lecture circuit and we'll run into each other.
Well, I would look forward to it, Brooks. Thank you so much for our great show.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Hope you have a great week.
Thank you, sir.
We'll talk to you later.
Right, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, Earth Explorers, my goodness, 3 hours goes by in about 45 minutes on this program, and we so appreciate your telephone calls. I'm sorry that we didn't get to everyone. Remember the number. Next week, we're going to be at the Earth Transformation Conference at James Gilliland's place in Trout Lake. And we will probably do a live broadcast there. We'll try to get as many interviews with as many personalities as we can. So be sure to tune in for that one. It's kind of a reality show with a telephone.
And
we really appreciate you. And we'll be checking out now. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. Thank you.